where the wind comes sweeping down the plain. And the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
All right. Well, happy Easter. And again, thank you so much for joining me here. How long have you been participating in the Okla Ed chats?
Gosh, it's been a while. I'd say I started getting active on Twitter in 2012, I think. And then I went to my first Ed camp in 2012, and it was sometime after that that I found out about Okla Ed. And then I lurked for a while, because all newbies lurk, and then I started participating. So I'd say at least a couple of years.
Nice. Very good. And so have you ever led a chat before?
I have. I've led a couple before. I did some last year around this time, and I'm trying to remember what the topics were. Gosh, that was a long time ago.
That's all right. That's all right. Well, I'm really excited. What is our topic this week?
So I'm calling it Passion EDU, Modeling Passion for Our Students. So it's about kind of a combination of what does it take to be successful, those soft skills around when you're passionate about something, how you're more motivated to do something, and the growth mindset is easier to kind of embrace. And so just how we can model that for our students.
And so what are some passions that drive you, Drew?
Well, I am actually a big nerd and a wannabe artist. So I would say those are my two big passions in life, is technology and art. And so recently, my biggest passion has been trying to teach myself how to use the Adobe suite. And that's been really a practice and growth mindset. So it's a challenging program to learn, but I'm absolutely loving each time I improve. So
I'm not sure you know who I am, but I went to one of your sessions at Ed Camp BA. It was Ed Camp BA. And you did a session, I want to say it was on interactive notebooks, but I still have the handout. You gave us all a handout, and it had some of your sketches. Yes. And I still use that from time to time. Whenever I go to conferences, I'm like, and look at this thing that I got. It was so awesome. So I still have that. And that was my first session with you.
Well, I am a big believer in sketchnotes, and so that's another one of my passions. And then I would say computer science education would probably round out my top three passions.
All right. And so what do you do? Where do you work?
So I am the online content coordinator at Tulsa Public Schools here in Tulsa. And what I focus on is kind of a combination of technology integration and innovative professional learning. So finding ways that we can personalize our professional learning for our teachers and modeling that so that they can then take that back and personalize learning for their students.
And so you are a part of the professional development. Does Tulsa Ed Camp their PDs?
We do not as of yet. We've done kind of independent Ed Camps, and TPS has graciously donated space for that. So our teachers do get to participate. But at this point, we have not had the opportunity to. I'd say this summer we are getting pretty close, where we're letting people kind of pick the topic that they want to go to, and there's a variety of sessions. But we're working our way there.
That's kind of the way my school's doing it, too, that we've got the topics already planned, so not quite Ed Camp, but it is a choose-your-own-PD type style, just like you're mentioning.
Yeah, I think it's a good hybrid between traditional PD and Ed Camp, because, Ed Camp is it's a unique way of doing PD, and sometimes it can be a little scary.
And sometimes it is not exactly what you thought the session was going to be. That's why that rule of 2 feet is so important.
For sure.
So is there a passion of yours that you've yet to dive into because of time or whatever? Is there something out there that still lurks in the back of your brain? You're like, I got to do this. And what is that?
Well, interesting that you should ask that question. I actually, not this week, but next week, I'm going to be heading to San Francisco to participate in a leadership workshop put on by an organization called the Unschool of Disruptive Design. So I have recently kind of been teaching myself about design thinking and problem solving. And this workshop will teach me how to use disruptive design to implement positive social change in my community. I crowdfunded my trip there, and it's probably the riskiest thing I've done recently because it's just so different than anything I've ever thought about putting myself through. So
I want to play with you. That is so exciting. And I'd like to think that I'm getting my toes wet with some of that right now. But gosh, and I live here close to Tulsa. We should get together because after you come back, I'm definitely going to want to pick your brain over everything you learned while you were out there.
I am just absolutely excited about the opportunities that this is going to, nobody from Oklahoma has ever done anything like this. So it'll be a really great, there's a lot of potential, I think, for what we can do with that information.
Heck yeah. Well, the first coffee, the first beer is on me, whatever we decide to go do, okay?
All right, sounds like a plan.
All right, thank you so much.
Oklahoma. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, wow, this was a great chat this week, don't you think?
Gosh, it sure was fun.
It was. Welcome back to Okla Said. This is where we rehash the Twitter chat from Sunday nights, every Sunday night. I am Erin Barnes, and you can find me on the Twitters at ebarnes73, and Mr. Scott Hazelwood, who is at Teach From Here, is my fabulous co-host.
Yes, and it's a pleasure, as always.
As always. So this week we had Drew Robinson, who is at Fat Cat Artist, and I didn't say that in the phone conference. Yes. Like, I was just like so on fire. And we ended up having a talk for about like 20 minutes beyond that because she told me about that conference and then we started talking about it. And I should have recorded the whole thing, but she is fabulous. She's full of passion, which might be why we had this chat.
It could also line up for those of you who celebrate Easter as it fell on Easter Sunday. So. For people that celebrate that holiday, it could also be passion.
Passion. Mm-hmm. All right. So, okay, one thing I wanted to throw out there before we get going here.
Oh, throw out.
Do you realize how busy our chat is getting? Like, it's getting busy, and it's not just Oklahoma anymore.
We seem to pull in people. We've always pulled in people from other states, but I felt like we had... I think maybe with some of Drew's connections, we pulled in even more than normal.
Maybe so.
Because I think she's connected pretty well through artistry and things like that.
If you're not connected to her, you should be. Oh. But I saw tweets coming from Wyoming, Texas, Georgia, Connecticut, California. And I mean, that was just as we were, you know, going. There may have been more. And if I left your state out, just let us know in the comments.
We had Canada, sure. Eh?
Oh, yeah, we did have Canada, eh? That was awesome. Yes. So, man, we are just lighting it up. We trend when we do this on Sunday nights. For the last few weeks, we've been trending like 2 and 3. I'm hoping that we can trend number 1 soon. But, hey, why don't we dive in?
Let's do. Question number 1 was... Passion gave us the light bulb and put us on the moon. What are you passionate about? And by the way, while Erin and I are talking about these, you really need to visit the landing page for the podcast for this particular one because Drew's tweets with the questions in them were amazing. And so yeah. I actually linked into those so you can see, because there's more than just this. There was a quote and everything.
Exactly. And her font, I mean, she just, it looked great. She had a really put together chat for this week.
Yeah, it was great.
So personalizing education is what I am passionate about. I just think that no two kids learn the exact same way. So for me personally, making it their own education is what I'm into. But I loved seeing all the passions from these Okla Ed and nationwide tweeters. But at Waters English, and she said, I am passionate about helping all students find what their purpose is and passion is, even if it's not writing. And I don't know if you saw, but she had three answers to question one. This is the second of the three. And she is huge into writing. So she likes finding their passions, even if it's not writing. I liked that.
Yeah, that's cool. And she's a phenomenal. And you know what? I missed her on the first few tweets because she changed her name on her Twitter hand. It's H2H2O. I wasn't ready for that. So, when you're first getting to know somebody, sometimes you don't pay as much attention as people you see all the time. And so the first few tweets, I was like, who's this 2H2O lady? They're sounding good. But it was Mrs. Waters sounding normal.
Yeah. You've got Josh and Levi who change their names every other week on the Twitters.
They're so clever.
They are really funny. But I was not looking for Mrs. Waters to have changed her name either.
Yeah, I wasn't ready for that. I really liked what Kathy Dunn had to say at Kathy S. Dunn. She said, passionate for redemption, second chances to succeed, clean slates, do-overs, and ultimately success. And as you have heard Aaron and I discuss a lot, we're pretty passionate about taking that risk and having a fail as long as you learn from that and improve. So, and my personal passion is positive disruption. I just think that we just have to avoid the whole pitfall of, well, we've always done it this way here, and this is how we're always going to do it.
So did you hear in the video chat what she's passionate about and where she's going on this conference?
I did. It sounded really exciting.
Yeah. So you said disruption. Look at their website. It is the Unschool of Disruptive Design. And they, will look at a piece of fish and try to think of the different ways they can think about that piece of fish. Their website is pretty intense. They've got all kinds of courses that they offer, and they're pretty economically friendly for teachers as well. She's going to the super amazing conference, which is not the online courses, but that disruptive style is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I like it. I don't think quite as far as that way, but I do think in some ways that we do our education, we need some disruption.
So question number two. Did I ask question number one or did you ask question number one?
I think I did. I got us off our normal routine.
That's okay. I am just fired up, and so I'm firing on all cylinders, and they're not always going to where they're supposed to.
That's okay.
Question number two.
I was disrupting.
How did you
I'm disrupting again.
Yes, you are. How did you develop your passion? Scott, how did you develop your passion?
Oh my gosh. I saw my first, here's where my passion happened. I saw my first, what's the guy, the Khan Academy video. I saw my first Khan Academy video.
Sal Khan.
And that led to an ISTE conference, which indirectly led to me doing what I'm doing now. So
I got to see him speak at South by Southwest EDU.
Yeah.
It was really awesome. He's pretty entertaining also.
His pipes are made for listening to.
Yeah. Mine, I don't know what my pipes are made for. Sorry. I was going to try to think of something funny to say and then I lost it. So
yeah,
I don't
right.
know. So, I don't know anything about pipes.
I had a couple of really great answers to this one. How did you develop your passion? One came from our friend from Connecticut, now in Virginia, at JCBGR, JR, John Bennett. And he said, by honestly discussing education with PLN and honestly considering what is important to education. And if you follow John for any amount of time, anytime consider comes up, it's always a capital C, because he just believes that we should always be thinking about why we're doing what we're doing, what needs to change, why, are there better, is there better? And then our friend of Okla Ed from Wyoming Ed, Brant Nyberg, Principal Nyberg, he says, I blame my parents, both educators, for not raising me better with a smiley face.
Yeah, for sure. So Lori Spiris at Mrs. L. Spiris, she said, long-term sub in SPED, seeing students struggle with some regular ed teachers who didn't understand them. So I reached out to her because I had never seen her in our chats before. She was a long-term sub. She switched over to para. She's going back to school to get her teaching, her master's in special education. Did you know that?
That's phenomenal. That's so
cool. And it's all because she subbed in a classroom.
It's crazy how that one small event can just totally take your life in a different direction.
Indeed.
So question three, in your life, how has your passion helped you to persevere?
Ooh, boy. Well, I really liked what at Papa Bacher, which is Austin Ashbacher.
I don't know how to say that.
Okay. He's from Texas, and he said, I wanted to quit, but discovered my favorite quote, "Behold the turtle. He only makes progress when he sticks his neck out." And I had never heard that, but I thought it was clever. However, it does not answer the question. And so I went to Jun Kim's tweet. He said, "Great mentors who help you throughout tough days, connected educators who carry you through the bad, and students who help me keep focused." And I thought that was just a quintessential how to keep your passion going.
Mm-hmm. That was a good one. I went with Rick Cobb, who was tweeting tonight from at Grendel Rick. And I believe Grendel is in reference to the Old Norse myth. I don't know. He is an English teacher person, and I forgive him for that. But he said, "Take writing. I was able to channel that passion for good during dark times in Oak Ed from 2011 to 2015 and beyond."
You think those years are significant?
I think he highlighted those specific years for a reason.
I think you're right. I do think you are right there.
She who must not be named.
That was a Harry Potter reference, eh?
Yeah. I can participate in this literary business, too.
We will not hold you fault at any of those things.
Okay, good deal.
So question number four. What are the characteristics and mindsets of a passionate person? And so in my brain, determination, perseverance, I did say a little mad in the head, love, and hate. You've got to hate something, I think, sometimes, too, to be passionate about it. But Kenneth Ward, he said, "Always room for improvement." Which is so true. If you think you're done, then get out, right?
Yeah, for real.
Never give up, learn from others, growth mindset, and always have room for more relationships.
I think that's a great answer. I think mine probably referenced something around here about get up one more time and then you fail, or fail big and then learn. I don't know, but I'm sure it had something to do with failure. So this one came from, I think it's Sierra King. It could be Shara, I'm not sure, but it's at S-I-A Rocking. And she said, "Contagious concern for something, excitement and enthusiasm." And I think that's where your passion starts. You have this contagious concern for something, or you despise something so much that you seek to undo that thing. That negative thing that can fuel your passion. You know, what gets you, you know, what's something that really makes you righteously upset, and how do you go about solving that problem? So I don't know. Compassion be taught? Why or why not? Now, I just want to say there were answers from every end of the spectrum on this one.
Yeah. Well, I think they all lean towards maybe not. Do you think? Did you see some that said that it could be taught?
I felt like I saw some in there that referenced that you could teach passion. But I think also, as we're teachers, we think we can teach anything.
Sure, sure. Rick Cobb, he said that passion can't be taught, but it can be learned, it can be fostered, it can be encouraged and celebrated, or it can be crushed.
Yeah, see previous tweet.
Yes, for sure.
I loved Jack Reed, what he had to say. He is at JL Reed 2011. He said, "Passion has to be discovered. You can teach in a way that inspires, but passion is a drive within the soul." And man, that was probably 1,000 times better than what I tweeted for that answer.
Yeah, back on that, I think a good teacher can inspire, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure passion is just cookie cutter reproducible. Do you think?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
We all have our own desires for why we're passionate.
Right, and I don't want my students to have my passions unless they develop it on their own.
Yeah.
I want them to be able to recognize my passion, but I don't want them to be little Scott Hazelwoods running around. I mean, that'd be great. But the world doesn't need any more Scott Hazelwoods. There's only one for a reason, right?
There's only one. Other than, do you believe in doppelgangers?
I've been told my doppelganger is running around someplace. But
Okay. All right. So question number six. How do you currently cultivate passion in your classroom?
Oh, gosh. And so I don't have a classroom right now. And basically what I do is I'm on a campus where I'm trying to encourage our faculty to try some different things with educational technology. And so basically what I do is I'm just myself, and I'm happy and I'm enthusiastic, and I just try and share the cool things that they can do if they try some new pedagogy, some new stuff. So
break outside that box.
Yeah. Let's knock it down. And sometimes that's a tough thing. But here we go. 2H2O, my lady, Waters English. She said, I try to find the unlit candles and help students light them. And then going back to my friend Brant from Wyoming, he said, it's like the opposite of fighting fires. And I thought those two went together really well. Yeah, so that's why I picked both really tweets. Well.
Good job. For me, I have to make myself, I lead to things too much. And so I have to take a step back. Like I have to mindfully take a step back and let them drive sometimes. And then that's when I usually see the light bulb or the fire ignition, come together. But Kim Blodgett said, by sharing my passions with them, by modeling how I cultivate my passions, it ignites something within them to do the same. And I do think that that's where that infection comes in, or, you know, the contagiousness of passion. I mean, if people see enthusiasm, it's hard to be negative that way. And if people see you're passionate about something, they do not, I don't know, I feel like for the most part, they don't want to be naysayers. But there are some. And we'll get to that, right?
Yeah. That's coming.
Yeah.
But Kim also is just super passionate about her kids. And it doesn't take long for you to follow her Twitter feed to see that students drive what she does in a lot of ways, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Question seven, what kind of barriers prevent passion in ourselves and our students?
So I know naysayers was something I said. Just the person who opposes what you're doing, it can really kind of stomp out that flame here and there. Melinda Parks, MCAT Parks, sorry. She had something to say. She said, kids have so many things that can block their passions, opinions from friends. Parents who can't or don't support them are another big blocker of passion. There were so many great tweets. Both of us several times had two this time. At Baker Left, who is Aaron Baker, he said, teachers and administrators operating from a place of fear. Fear of change, fear of innovation, fear of controversy, and fear of the political. And all of those things, I do think, can hold back teachers and administrators. And I think that it might run down and trickle down to the students, too. They see that, and they're afraid then as well.
Kids pick up on what adults are feeling sometimes. They're very good. By the way, Aaron has also blogged a couple times recently about our last chat, which was the school to prison pipeline. And so
I saw that.
I encourage you to see what he has written. It's very good. And this isn't that conversation, but it's important what has shared. It's important. Okay. So Seth Meyer, who is in Jarman, he's in Del City. He is at Seth Meyer, M-E-I-E-R. He said, I'm usually my biggest barrier. Losing focus on what is most important doesn't happen often, but that's why balance is key. And Seth shared that several times during the chat, the balance part. You know, he's got to balance being an administrator and being a dad and being a husband and all that kind of stuff. So that's in there. And I thought Allison Hogue at Ali Beth, she had some hilarious tweets last night that I couldn't pick because it didn't necessarily answer the question, but I love the tweets. Right. But this one said, the mess the Oklahoma legislature has made of education in this state has really made it a struggle for me this year. And I don't think she's the only one.
I don't think so either. I see a lot of our OCLA Ed educators, administrators, soon-to-be teachers, wondering what the heck are we going to do, and how can you really have just insane passion to do more when all the time you're being pulled away from and given less? It's a difficult struggle. That's right on, Allison.
And it's not just the K-12 area where that's hitting. You know, I'm now experiencing the higher ed world, and there's significant issues there too. How do you support your college and make it affordable for everybody when your budget that you depend on doesn't come in that month?
For sure.
I mean, it's just, oof. Okay, man.
I know. Let's get back on passion. Here we go. Question number 8.
That's you.
Okay, what can we do as educators to address these barriers both in and out of the classroom? You know, this one was huge. I think I tweeted something about a culture of let's just try. You may be outside of your comfort zone, you may be outside of your box, but if you try, then I can see that effort is coming through. And that's one way I try to bust down those barriers. But I did like what Angela Clark Little said, and she is at Ange M. Little. Live by example. You can't tell students anything is possible and then live and speak as though it isn't. Perception is power.
Yeah, word on. That's a good one. That's along the same lines too, where sometimes I arch my eyebrow at teachers who go, well, we have to teach this way because it's scripted and it's going to the test, and your kids see that.
Yeah, I know that there are administrations out there who want their teachers to teach to the test. But educators, as soon as you close your door, that classroom is yours. Sorry, voice. But obey.
You can do great things and get out the script. I am living proof. So is Aaron. Okay, that's enough. But I don't think less of you. I don't. Okay. So Sarah Adams, who is at Sarah Chris Adams, said, "Push my own fears aside in order to lift up others. Don't want students feeding off my insecurities. The process grows me as well." And word to the mother there as well, because sometimes once we, you know. One of my favorite things to send out periodically is that note card with the circle, and on it says, you know, your comfort zone, and then way over here, a little circle that says where the magic happens, you know, and
right.
Gosh, it's hard to get out of that comfort zone. It's so hard, but magic happens when you do it. It just happens. And you grow through that, and it's not pretty. That goes with the other thing, you know, where people think that success is the straight line from beginning to end, and it's not. It's the worst shoe knot you've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm making the squiggly lines because I've seen that that poster also, but nobody can see me here.
If only they could see your arms squiggle like that on the podcast.
Moving on.
How does emphasizing passion in the classroom help develop a growth mindset in our students? And again, Kenny Ward here, this was a great question, but he said, when we listen to and foster our students' dreams and help them understand the possibilities, the passion will come. And that's one, like I have a seventh grade kiddo, and you know, a lot of our conversations, you know, with a seventh grade boy, hey, how was your day? What'd you do today? Did you have fun? I mean, and that's the conversation.
It's a great conversation.
But he's become fascinated with forensics. You ask him a question about a forensics deal, and he's starting to find that passion. So we've actually got we reached out to a retired OSBI agent and that my mom knows, and he's set up a time to meet with Rowan and possibly tour the OSBI facilities and things like that. So
that's wicked awesome.
Yeah. So he finally, you know, we were able to determine some passion that he's starting to develop, and we figured out a way to feed it.
Yeah. I like what Jack Reed said, and he is at JL Reed. 2011. Even if students aren't passionate about my passions, allowing them to see and hear my passion will help them develop theirs. And that goes back to what Angela was saying earlier. They see us, they feed off of us. And if we are modeling passion and modeling enthusiasm, then I think it can catch.
Yeah, it's enthusiasm and cancers both can spread. One's for good and one isn't. So yeah. which one do you want to be, right?
And you were talking about like figurative cancers. Yeah, I know, literal cancers. I laughed, but then I was like, wait a minute.
I don't wish harm on anybody by any means.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And you can tweet to him at Teach From Here.
Yeah, I know that's a very serious subject, but it does infect personality-wise as well. And so...
No, for sure.
You know, that's the way I'm looking at that one. Thanks, Aaron.
All right, question 10. What will you do this week to encourage your students' passions? I saw what you put, Scott. You said, I'm just going to be me.
It's going to be me.
And I liked that. Seth Meyer had also said, listen to them. Treat their problems and passions with concern and wait. Let them know I am present.
Mm-hmm. That's a good
Beautiful.
One.
And then Julie Bloss, whom, again, I love all these new names. Or if she's not new, I apologize, Julie. I took a hiatus for a while before this podcast started. But Julie had something to say, and I see, do we have the same thing?
We have the same thing.
You tell them what Julie said.
Okay. So Julie said, being an encourager begins by being a great listener and taking time with students to, quote, know them. Looking forward to this week. And I love that answer.
Yeah.
This was a fun chat.
It was a fun chat. What was your favorite question, Scott?
Oh, gosh. My favorite question was 7. What kind of barriers prevent passion in ourselves and other students? And my answer to that was the barrier of we've always done it this way. Like, I know we're comfortable. I don't teach the same way I taught year one. And by God, I am so happy don't. I mean, jeez.
Yeah.
What about you?
My favorite question was question 1. What are you passionate about? Because as soon as anybody asks, it gives me permission to open up, right?
So, Aaron, what are you passionate about? Let me just listen.
You're so sweet.
Oh, thank
you. No. It's that personalized learning. It's learning spaces. It's meeting the kid at their multiple intelligence. I wrote another song this week to the tune of Ice Ice Baby. It'll be out soon. But that was... All right, stop. Now that I've got your attention. Anyway, I can't rap.
Stop, I'll get collaborate, and listen.
There it is. Anyway, so I just like finding new ways to personalize their learning, and that's what I like to do.
Yes, you do. All right, Boom Sauce Tweet of the Night.
Boom Sauce Tweet of the Night was from Rick Cobb this week. You know what? If I lived closer to Oklahoma City, I would apply to work for Rick Cobb. Just gets it, you know? Like, he just gets it, and he's just funny, and he wears jeans to work, and he shows up in classrooms. Like, he just...
He rides tricycles.
Indeed. So my Boom Sauce tweet was from him. It assures students that they will still have value when they struggle academically. And we've got to... Oh, it was about passion in the classroom. We need to show them that we still love them. We need to assure them that they still have value when they struggle and when they mess up. I mean, even if they don't struggle and it's a fight they get into, or, you know, something else besides academics, we got to show them that they still have value.
Yeah, indeed. My Boom Sauce tweet of the night came from intros where Drew asked us to share our name and then a movie title that would fit for us personally. And the Truman Doctrine told us at the beginning he would be in and out of chat because he was reading a book on Nixon. I don't know that any book on Nixon could be that enthralling, but for him it was so. So.
Oh, no. Nixon is interesting. I'm listening to a podcast called Presidential. It's pretty awesome.
I'm not knocking.
But tell us what Truman said.
So the Truman Doctrine at Drew C75 said, doesn't know what he's doing, but it seems to work. When I saw that, I may have chuckled out through my nose while drinking something.
I put that at the top of the chat, just in our notes. I was like, oh, we've got to find a way to work this in. It wasn't something, but when I saw you had it as your Boom Sauce, I was like, yeah, that's it. That's good.
Allison Hogue had a couple that were close runners up, but... because she said something that I think one of her tweets on at this same point was like, is there coffee or something like that?
Yeah. That's awesome.
So hilarious.
What do we got going on next week, Scott?
Oh, well, coming up on Sunday, we have the most amazing Dean Garn from the University of Oklahoma, Janine Rainbolt College of Education. He's going to be hosting our chat, and it's going to be called or centered around community solutions for education. So I'm pretty excited about that. And yeah. I'm sure we have Annie Beck to thank for inviting Dean Garn to lead our chat.
Yeah, that's going to be really exciting. And it starts at 8 o'clock.
Just
on
like
Sunday night.
Every other Sunday at 8.
We have to say it. What if somebody like tunes in and, you know. Anyway. All right.
All right.
All right, educators. You know what to do. Go out and dominate the world.
They're saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma. Oklahoma. Okay.